Christians know that God is no respecter of persons, but all must be saved by accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. On today's broadcast titled, He That Hungers Shall Be Fed, subtitled, Two Hungry Men, recorded in September, year 2021, on Apostolic Square in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Bishop Omega delivers a sermon which considers the New Testament story of Cornelius, a Roman soldier seeking a relationship with God. The principal text begins in the book of Acts, 10th chapter, 1st verse.
Today we are addressing a subject matter which the Lord himself gave us insight into. He said, He that hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. And that is the topic we're addressing today. And thus the title, He that hungers shall be fed. You remember, as I just said in Matthew 5, 6, our Lord said, He that hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. What does that mean? Well, the bottom line is that anyone desiring a right relationship with God, with the right heart and the right yearning, that's all that hunger means, meaning it's not a weekend endeavor, it's not a sometimey thing, it's someone who's really hungry for a right relationship with God. God promises, through the very words of our Lord Jesus himself, that you shall have it, you shall be filled. And I have today an example of two men, using the theme of hunger, two men that were hungry. Thus the subtitle today is Two Hungry Men. So the title is, He That Hungers Shall Be Fed, subtitled, Two Hungry Men. Because we're going to deal today with a pagan, let us say someone from a pagan background, a Gentile, and a kosher Jew. Both were hungry. One was spiritually hungry, and his heart was hungry. One was hungry in his belly, and his body was hungry. And God found a way of feeding both of them. And that is the focus I want you to keep today as we cover these very familiar passages today, these scriptures which you know very well. We're in the book of Acts today in the 10th chapter. And by now, many of you have gleaned, we're talking about Cornelius, the centurion, and Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ. Both men were hungry, as I said, one hungry in heart, the other hungry in his belly. And the Lord found a way to satisfy both of their desires. But you'll see he did it both of them he fed with spiritual knowledge and spiritual enlightenment. And as we go through this passage today, I want to bring out certain points which we may or may not have covered, which you may or may not know, but I want you to stay focused and keep in mind that we're talking today about how God always allows those who are seeking him with an earnest and honest and heart of sincerity, he always finds a way to let that person be fed. Some will say, but how about the people in the very remote places of the world who only have a sense of him through nature? Then that is their connection to God, and God allows that. God allows, for example, some in the rainforest of South America may not ever have heard of Jesus Christ, but if they're hungering for that greater spirit, something greater than they are, and they'll look up and they'll worship in the great heavens, something. Well, God will let them through the nature. He knows their limitations of how much they've been exposed to him. Through that, he will let them find him in that way. And depending on his own desire and his own plan, he lets each and every person who really hungers for him find him. This we're going to cover today. And I want you to notice something that about Cornelius, certain things about Cornelius and certain things about Peter, which stand out because both are sincerely hungry. Now you may say, Peter's already saved. Yes, Peter was with Jesus, yes. But God used his own natural craving for natural food to further enlighten him and stretch his understanding about spiritual matters. While Cornelius, who is hungry, and you can see it in the very verbiage, the wording that is used here, that he wasn't a weekend seeker of the Lord Jesus, as many so-called Christians are. This man, it says, prayed always to God. And not only that, he used his pay, his salary, to help God's people. And then he would meditate on God himself, and God found a way of filling him because this man was genuinely hungry. And that is the difference between some people who are who consider themselves born in the church, though no one is born in the church. You later join the church body. You may have been born to a church-going family. But sometimes you can take for granted that you are one who really desires God because it's always been your background. But someone hungry for God is constantly a prayerful person. Someone that is hungry for further enlightenment is constantly seeking the scriptures, the knowledge in the scriptures. They're meditating on the Lord. They're examining the wrongs in their lives, how they're not like God. This is a person who's hungry for righteousness. Again, righteousness here, Jesus says in Matthew 5:6, the bottom line was a right relationship with God. When you're hungry for that, you don't just pursue it in your spare time. You don't just tune in on weekends when mommy brings you to church or when you come with the family. But if you're hungry for God and you're hungry for the righteousness that only He can give you, then your very existence revolves around a better relationship, a fuller relationship with God, better understanding, insights into His Word. And we're going to see this as we pass through these scriptures today, that Cornelius was not a weekend warrior for the Lord. He was someone who desired God. In fact, let me just put some facts out here about him. He was a devout person, meaning he really loved the Lord in the Old Testament way of the relationship with Jehovah Yahweh God. And then he subscribed to a lot of the traditions and ways of the Old Testament Jews. However, when it says a devout and God-fearing man, but it does not use the word, and he was a proselyte, that means he did not fully come all the way into proselytizing himself into the Jewish faith because he did not go through with the circumcision rites. So while he was someone who desired God and desired to leave his pagan lifestyle, don't forget he's a Roman soldier, so they're filled with and used to a pagan lifestyle, debauchery, what we would call today sexual immorality. But he is one, and you'll see and many in his house were like him, who desired something different. He wanted something more pure. And his heart sought God. So all he had and all he was exposed to was the Old Testament Jewish ways. But apparently he heard something about this Jesus, or he wants to know more about the Lord. And God found a way through naturally hungry Peter to find him a way, to find Cornelius a way to get to know God better. So God uses Peter's natural hunger, hunger for food, for natural carnal food. He used his hunger to help feed Cornelius' spiritual hunger. And that is that's the aspect of the story that we're going to cover today that may not have been seen before. Also, Peter, who was, as I said earlier, spiritually already enlightened, needed more enlightenment. And we're going to see how this story develops, that the Lord found a way to do that. And we're going to begin here at the first verse of the 10th chapter of Acts. That's our passage today, Acts, the 10th chapter, and hopefully we'll go through the whole chapter, but bringing out different points where you can see how the Lord works to feed those who are genuinely hungry. And I want you to keep this in mind, saints, and I hope I don't say it ad nauseum, but you cannot be filled, you cannot be fully fed if you're only a casual seeker of God's righteousness or right relationship with God. As I said earlier, many who were born in a Christian family, in a Christian atmosphere, tend to take for granted their relationship with God. But someone who is starving for God's righteousness, someone who is genuinely hungry, seeks it perpetually, not when it's comfortable, not when the weather is pleasant, not when you're feeling okay. No, you want everything about you. You want to have this right relationship, this better relationship with God, this more enlightened relationship with our Lord. And here we have an example of two men who find it and how the Lord works behind the scenes, and when you're unaware He's working, He's always available to those who genuinely seek Him. Thus again, I'm going to remind you to go back to Jesus's quote in Matthew 5:6. If you hunger and thirst, He didn't say if you have a casual appetite for. If you're hungry and you're thirsty for a right relationship with God. You've put aside trying to earn it because you know you can't. So you leave it to God to give you that which you need to have that right relationship with Him. He'll always find a way for the hungry heart to be fed. And here today we have two hungry men who are going to find themselves fed. And both, or I should say neither, I don't think, knew what was going to happen. You can see them both surprised along the way as God works out His plan to feed them, as He does with anyone who is genuinely hungry. And please don't take for granted that because your mother is mother so-and-so, or your father is deacon so-and-so, or whoever, don't take for granted that your relationship with God is where it should be. Do not take that for granted. Each individual, you have to hunger and thirst for this right relationship with God, and you shall be fed. First verse, 10th chapter of Acts. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian band or the Italian regiment. Here's a bit of information I gave you earlier. He's a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. In verse 2, we have so much that gives us a clue inside of what kind of man Cornelius was. First of all, a devout man, as I said earlier. He was from a pagan background who found himself desirous of God and the Jewish people and their faith. And so he prayed sometimes. Isn't that what it says? No, he prayed always to God. This is a man who is sincere. And what else does this tell us? He says, he with all his household. When you are hungry for God, when you know the value of having a relationship with God, and this man didn't know it fully, although he had some insight into Yahweh, Jehovah, God of the Old Testament, he was so sincere about it, he made sure everyone else around him had this sort of yearning for God. Notice it says, he with all his household. And that is the way it is with anyone who loves the Lord, knows the Lord, fears the Lord properly, means holds God in proper awe. You don't just get saved yourself without trying to save your family, your friends, and those you know. Cornelius obviously exposed his whole household. He's a man, pretty good wealth, and he has servants, and he has soldiers that serve him. And he made sure those around him, those that lived in his house, those under his roof, as it were exposed to this belief and this feeling that he had about this God of the Old Testament saints. And I'm saying that because that's all he knew. He may have heard of this Jesus, and he may have had some tangential knowledge of him, but he made sure all those around him were also God-fearing. Notice it says, a devout man who feared God with all his household. And of course, feared God here means to hold him in proper awe and reverence. And he made sure everyone else in his house did. And he was not, as I said, a weakened warrior. He prayed to God always. This shows you how hungry this man is. He didn't just pray in his spare time. This man is the type of man, listen to me clearly, he's the type of man that may have been while on duty as a soldier in the Roman pagan army. He may have still been crying out in his heart, God, show me the right thing to do. Let me be fair with the people over whom I have authority. Something in him is yearning. Where when it says he prayed always, it means constantly, was a part of his lifestyle. And saints, you've heard me say over the years, you don't just pray when you come to the sanctuary of the Lord. You don't just pray when you're home at your bedside. You pray throughout the day. You can pray in your heart. You can pray with audible words. You can pray with thought. And I say with your heart, with your inner person. It's not always audibilized. It's not always in a formal setting. But someone who desires the Lord and is hungry for Him, it's not a casual thing you do. Neither is it something you do to show off or to impress others. This is who I am. I pray. So Cornelius, while not having the full enlightenment of Christianity, was a person whose heart was hungry for the Lord. And I said earlier, in my opening, the Lord never leaves empty a heart that's hungry for Him. He always finds a way to fill it. He that hungers for thirst shall be filled. He that hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled, shall be fed. So here's a man who prayed always. And at about 3 o'clock in the day, verse 3 now, about the ninth hour, he saw clearly or evidently, when it says evidently, it means he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. First of all, before we continue that, do you see what just happened here? Because of the sincerity of his heart, God found a way to reach him. So God sent an angel who looks like a human being, but he sent an angel to bridge that empty gap that Cornelius had to know God. He says, God says, let me do something here, which is what he does for anyone. This is not just a story of antiquity that, like people say, oh, those happen in Bible days. You're living in Bible days. God, as I said in the recent sermon, what he has done and what he can do, Jesus can do now. So the Lord still works now. But here's a man who was hungry, prayed always. He even gave part of his salary. It says he gave alms or helped generously with the people, meaning the Jewish people. He gave part of his salary. He's showing that he's not just one who speaks it. He did something. So this is a man who is sincere about the Lord, and the Lord found a way of reaching him. So he sent an angel, and the angel called him Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And Cornelius said to him, the angel said to Cornelius, listen to this, saints, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Here is a man who is someone who just fears God and loves him, but he's not fully in the Jewish faith, but he is heard by God because his heart is sincere. This tells us something too, reminds me of Hagar and her son Ishmael when they were praying. When you're sincere and your heart, you're crying out to the Lord can still hear you because he hears a right heart. That's one thing Christian communities have to get over. We don't tell people, get right and then come in church. We say, come to God and then God will get you right. If your heart is right, God straightens you out. But a hungry heart, a desirous heart for the Lord, he always finds a way to reach. And that's what this story is about today. A hungry heart, he always finds a way to reach. He sent this angel. He says, Cornelius, God's heard your prayers. And the things you do for the Jewish people, giving what we call today charity, charitable works, the things you do, it came up as a sweet-smelling odor, if you will. It came up as a memorial before God. This is metaphorical language when it says came up as a sweet, savory odor, meaning God is aware of your heart, and then he sees what you do based on the heart you have and the fear and the love and the reverence you have for him, even in the way you treat his people. He says God likes that. He senses in you and has seen in you a desire to have a better, right relationship with him. So God is going to do something about it. Verse 5, now the angel tells him, send men to Joppa, which is today called Jaffa, Israel, but back then it was called Joppa. Send men to Joppa, and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is staying with or lodging with a Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seashore. This is another thing. I said Peter was, we're going to see soon, Peter's naturally hungry, but Peter already is breaking with tradition by staying with a Jewish man who was a tanner. Because to work with the skins of dead animals was considered something that the Jewish community looked down on, because it was considered sort of an unclean kind of profession. And Simon the Tanner was probably shunned by the Jewish community and the Jewish authorities, certainly, because you don't work with dead skins. It's an unclean profession, even though he was a Jew, Simon the Tanner. So I said that to say Peter's already staying in a home which the community, the Jewish community, may have looked down on. So I'm saying all that to say when Peter changes. This is one reason Paul got so upset with him. Paul says at a later place, Peter, you were already acknowledging and accepting Gentiles and even Jewish people like Simon the Tanner, who had a profession that was not accepted by the Jewish authorities, and yet you backslid one day when you would no longer eat with Gentiles. We'll get to that in a minute. I believe that's referenced in Corinthians. But that's one thing that so annoyed Paul. He said, I confronted him to his face. It doesn't mean he was disrespectful. He means he had to tell him, Peter, you're playing the hypocrite now. But you'll see here, even before we get to Peter's vision, you see that Peter was already breaking with tradition by staying with Simon, a tanner. That was considered, that was something they looked down on in the Jewish community. That's just a side note for your information. He is lodging or staying with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seashore. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. Now, go back to verse 2 and you'll see that Cornelius and all those in his house feared God. So he called two regular servants, if you will, that also feared God. But here is saying now also another soldier that worked with Cornelius or under him, also like Cornelius, was most likely, it says, a devout, a devout soldier, which means he also was not a full proselyte into the Jewish faith, but like Cornelius, was loyal to the Old Testament ways according to Judaism, what he knew, but was not circumcised. But the scripture is keen to let us know here, he's a soldier. All of that is said because when they go to Simon the Tanner's house, and they let them, and Peter lets them in to lodge with them, that was considered something so unusual because they hated the Roman army. And here a soldier and two household servants from Cornelius are going to be sent to go get Peter. Anyway, moving on, verse 8. And when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the rooftop, housetop, to pray. About the sixth hour, and a bit of information here. Many different worship services were done on rooftops back then. Understand, for you builders, you will know, it obviously was not an A-frame roof, it was a flat roof. And this was a tradition that Jewish people did. They would go up on the rooftop and observe certain religious rites. Peter went up here to pray. And it was about the sixth hour, which means 12 noon. So, then he became hungry, so it's lunchtime. Usually the Jewish day starts at about 6 a.m. So Peter's been up probably for about 6 hours, and now he's hungry. So he goes up on the rooftop to pray at 12, and notice this, and he was very hungry. Now it says here that Cornelius prayed always to God. He was very hungry. See, someone who prays always, often, always, shows a certain kind of spiritual hunger. Notice the two similarities here. Peter now, the scripture says, was very hungry. He wasn't just hungry. So the Lord takes, I love this theme of using this hunger to enlighten both of them. But the Lord uses this same theme of hunger. Peter wants natural food. The Lord says, I'll get him while he's hungry. So while he's hungry, he feeds him spiritually. But now Peter goes up on the roof and is very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, so while whoever was in the house preparing food for Peter to eat, while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open up and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending and letting down to earth. And it's interesting to note here that, before we get to it, I'm sure most of you know this, it says all manner of animals, right? So you had clean animals, that is to say animals accepted by the Jewish faith to eat, and unclean animals, animals that were not accepted by the Jewish people that they could eat. So he says in verse 12, in this sheet that was let down from heaven were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to Peter saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, we all know the Lord is speaking to Peter from heaven after showing him all kinds of animals, which Peter, being a kosher Jew, shows right here, but he's going to say, no, not so, Lord. Well, I like to call faithful disobedience. You'll remember recently I said Thomas showed us loyal unbelief when he said, oh, let's go and die with him there in Judea. Now, here is faithful disobedience because he calls him Lord, yet he says not so or no, which oxymoronic. You don't tell the Lord no. But he's still being faithful because he acknowledges him as Lord. Let's read. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. I want you to pay attention to this language here. God never mentions anything about human beings here. But you'll see that the Lord is stretching Peter's understanding. He's feeding him spiritually because Peter later confessed, I knew the Lord was talking about people. And I want you to notice the timing of the Lord too, when he sends those three to come knocking at the door, or you're shouting as it were, to at the gate of the Simon the Tanner's house. But notice when it was, but let's look at here. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed you must not call common, meaning God just showed you all kinds of animals. Now God is using the dietary rites and the dietary traditions of the Jewish people to make a point about human beings. And I want you to notice the timing. Now the God in that sheet that he let down from heaven in this vision that Peter has, not one person was seen, only animals. But why? Because Peter was hungry to eat meat. He was hungry to eat food. So God used Peter's own natural hunger to feed him and teach him spiritually. And this is tying into feeding Cornelius spiritually. That's why I subtitled this Two Hungry Men. They are both hungry, but one is hungry in the belly, one's hungry in his soul. And God finds a way to feed them both. Watch this. Verse 15. And a voice spoke to him the second time. What God has cleansed you must not call common. This was done three times. Now we all know about how stubborn Peter can be. Because don't forget, all his life he's a kosher Jew. He even says, I have never eaten anything unclean. Meaning animals that are considered defiled or not accepted by the Jewish dietary traditions. So he says, I have always kept it. What he's saying, God, I'm a perfectly kosher Jew. How can I eat the things you just showed me in this sheet that came down from heaven? You showed me all manner of wild beasts. We know we can't eat wild beasts. And he says all manner of animals, both clean and unclean, things accepted by the Jewish dietary rites and those unacceptable. And the object was taken back into heaven again. Now, listen to this, saints, verse 17. Now, while Peter wondered to himself what this vision meant that he had seen, behold, three men came from Cornelius to inquire at the house of Simon. Now, why did it say at the time? Because if they didn't come then, Peter may have just thought he had a bad dream and forgotten about the whole thing and went on. But look at the Lord's timing. Right while Peter is wondering, what was that all about? Three times he shows me and three times he says, rise, kill, and eat. No, Lord, I can't do that. I have a kosher diet. I have never done that. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. No, Lord, three times. Right while he's wondering, oh, he's waking up, he's coming back. He said, what was that all about?
You are listening to a message titled, He That Hungers Shall Be Fed, subtitled, Two Hungry Men, preached by His Eminence Bishop Omega from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located at 701 South 22nd Street, Apostolic Square, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Please mail all correspondence to 701 South 22nd Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146. Or email your communication to preacher701@cljcoaf.org. To order sermons, CDs, and DVDs, visit our website at www.701recordsshop.com. We now rejoin this message.
This is the Lord's timing. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was staying there, was lodging there. Notice the timing. Right while Peter's wondering what it meant, the Lord sent the answer what it meant. And notice he sent three Gentiles, one dressed like a Roman soldier, which the Jewish people hate. You have to appreciate these little subtleties. Simon, Peter is Jewish. Simon the Tanner is Jewish. In no wise would they ever let these three Gentiles into their house. Why? Because Jews cannot have Gentiles in their house, nor can they even be friendly with them. You don't have Gentile buddies. That's just the way a kosher Jewish life was led, right? So right while Peter is wondering what's going on with that dream, what was God trying to tell me? God sends the answer in the form of three human beings, though on the sheet all he saw were animals. You must understand how the Lord is feeding here. The Lord is feeding Peter now. Peter's still hungry in his belly, and I'm sure he's going to eat in a minute. But the Lord is feeding him first spiritually. And while he's wondering, what was that vision all about? The Lord has them shout out, hey, is there someone named Simon here whose surname is Peter? Is he staying in this house? Now, While Peter thought about the vision, he's still thinking on it, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit said to him, look, behold, three men are looking for you. Get up, arise therefore, go down and go to them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Do you see how the Lord just stretched and Peter's understanding of what's going on? Peter only saw animals. Peter is hungry, thinking of eating animals soon, probably a nice lamb or something they're preparing for him. Fish, who knows? He's preparing to eat in his mind because he's hungry, and the Lord is feeding him spiritually. And notice the timing. While he's thinking on what happened, the three men come, and then while he's still thinking of it, the Spirit speaks to him and says, Peter, go downstairs. Three men are looking for you. Who's downstairs? Three Gentiles. I keep saying that because you must understand the importance of the vision he just saw, and he's wondering what it meant, and God is saying, here's what it meant. What I have called clean, don't you dare call common. So Peter is going to deduce in his mind, the Lord wasn't talking about only animals at all. He was talking about human beings. And this is the Lord's way of also letting Peter know, I am breaking down the partition between Gentile and Jew in my church. The church is now going to be filled with both Gentiles and Jewish people. Of course, the church began with Jewish people because those immediately around Jesus were Jewish. And now Peter is now preaching in a Gentile house, Cornelius, and now we see the three that come to Simon the Tanner's house looking for Simon Peter. They are also Gentiles, and he just had a vision, and God spoke and said, what I called clean, don't you dare call common, or unclean, or defiled, or not acceptable to God. And then Peter went down, this is verse 21, to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he who you seek, whom you seek. For what reason have you come? Now, I want you to pay attention to this because they're going to answer Peter in verse 22, the reason they came, yet you're going to see Peter ask again, what do you want from me? And I think that when he says that to Cornelius, that's to draw out of Cornelius so Cornelius can say directly. But you're going to see here in verse 22, they tell Peter clearly why they were sent. And they said to him, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, that just means among all the Jewish people, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summons you to his house and to hear words from you. So right there, they said, we were sent to bring you so you can speak to us. So Peter was told what he was sent, why they came. Yet Peter's going to ask Cornelius later, so what have you called me for? And I think it's not that Peter is thick or didn't understand. I think Peter, when he asks it later, is drawing out of Cornelius the reason specifically. But then he invited them in and lodged with them. Now, that's when I said, and lodged them, I should say. That's the point when I said Peter broke tradition by staying with a tanner, and now look what he does. He breaks it again by inviting Gentiles into a Jewish home, and he keeps them overnight. He lodges them. This you don't do as a Jew. And this, again, I tell you, is one reason Paul got so upset with Peter when he backslid. If I may quickly take you to Galatians, and you'll clearly see where Paul got annoyed with Peter, but not in an insulting way, but in a way of keeping him, as they say, honest. Let's look at Galatians 2:11. Now, when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to his, this is Paul talking, and this is the reason Paul got so annoyed, because you'll see, as we get back to the Acts reference, that Peter was fine with letting Gentiles in. He was fine with socializing with Gentiles, eating with Gentiles. And then here, he began to play the hypocrite, or to backslide on his stance. And this is one reason Paul said, see, he withstood him to his face. Please don't think, saints, that in some way Paul disrespected Peter. When he says, I withstood him to his face, he means I didn't put it through a rumor mill, I actually talked to him face to face. We tend to think when he says, I withstood him to his face, that he sort of got belligerent or I should say disrespectful with Peter. No, he did not. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. All that means is because Peter was wrong. Why? Because, he said, before certain men came down from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew himself and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. He was afraid of what other Jews would think of him. And Paul's point is, How are you going to fear what men think of you, and you know the right thing to do, what Jesus showed you in that, what God showed you in that sheet and told you, do not call unclean what I've called clean, and you've made such strident steps in socializing with Gentiles, showing that there is no difference between Jew, Gentile, black, white, male, female when it comes to God. So Paul's point here in Galatians 2, 11 through 13, how dare you go backwards, Peter? Let me go on Galatians 2:13. Paul says, and it got so bad, he said, and the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with Peter, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. That's so annoyed Paul, and I can go on reading, but I want to get back to my main point. But that so annoyed Paul that we should understand why. Because Paul knew the steps Peter made to accept Gentiles. His point is, why? Because of the pressure of a few other fellow Jews, are you going back on what you know to be the truth? We call that backsliding. You backslid from where you were in Christ. Not that he turned against Jesus, we don't mean it like that. But he's saying, you're playing the hypocrite. He said, it got so bad, my own buddy Barnabas began to play the hypocrite with them too. I'm saying this because it's so annoyed Paul because of the progress and this experience here in Acts, the 10th chapter, Peter made with Gentiles. And then Peter went on socializing with Gentiles and eating with Gentiles. And Paul says, and now you're separating yourselves there in Galatians 2, 11 through 13. Back to our Acts reference, Acts 10, 24. The following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Remember I said earlier? When you know you have the jewel of jewels, you have God, you have something that's precious to you, your faith, you share it with others. If you don't put the knowledge and the fear and the awe and the respect of God in your children, and all you give them are material things and advantages in this world, in this life, the Bible says, God says you don't really love them. This life is temporary. There's eternity to be concerned with. And look at what Cornelius did. He knew he's waiting on some gem, some enlightenment. He says, and I want my whole house and all my relatives to come hear this man, Peter. Because he knows he has the truth. And it's some hunger in Cornelius that he wants, it's so prominent in him and so important to him that he wants to share this with others that he what? Loves. Here's what Cornelius is doing. Cornelius, verse 24, and the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet to worship him. Now this is a point I always like to make. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand, I myself am also a man. This I can extrapolate further. Peter and any good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ makes it clear. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're a fellow member in any particular congregation. You make it clear the only one you worship or show this kind of homage and reverence to is the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone tries to put you on a pedestal that only our Lord Jesus belongs on, you make sure you do what Peter did. The reason this is said, men make mistakes. Peter, I just read later. Didn't I read in Galatians? Peter's a man, but he's an apostle of Jesus. Yes, but he's a man. Men make mistakes. I today make mistakes and need to be corrected. The Lord does it. A friend will do it. A good intentioned person will do it. We all make mistakes. But Peter made it very clear, I'm just a man. Don't worship me. And as he talked with him, verse 27, he went in and found many who had come together. This is as Peter was talking with Cornelius. He found Cornelius' house filled with a bunch of people, his close friends and Cornelius' relatives. And Peter's like, whoa, there's a lot of people in here, for example. He says, then he said to them, now this is another thing we have to correct. He said, you know it is unlawful for a Jewish man to keep company or to go in with one of those, with those of another nation. This is not Peter so much saying, look, I'm doing you Gentiles a favor, as he's saying, look, I've grown. Look, I've been fed knowledge. In the past, when I preached this, I think my emphasis was more as though Peter's saying, look, I'm doing you all a favor by coming here. I don't think it was so much that as I examined this. I think what Peter is saying here, I've learned while I was thinking about what that sheet of animals meant, the Lord sent three Gentiles. He was talking to me about human beings. So Peter is saying, now, you know, traditionally, I'm a kosher Jew. I can't enter a Gentile home, but look at how I've grown. Look at how I've been fed. And I see that the Lord was telling me, as I continue, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common. When did the Lord ever mention man? The vision had animals in it. But by the three showing up while he was thinking on this vision, Peter put together, as they say, two and two, and figured out four. He says, oh, what God is showing me is that Gentiles are to be accepted just like Jews into this new thing called the church. And they should not be considered second-class citizens or unclean or common. He says, notice, I want you to notice this language here. But God has shown me that I should not call, I'm at verse 28b, I should not call any man common or unclean. The Lord, we never saw the Lord say those words, but you see how the Lord fed Peter where he understood, and now Peter is being, his understanding is being stretched, and his appetite spiritually is being satisfied. Yet, Peter entered this whole scene here with a natural appetite, and the Lord used his natural hunger to feed him spiritually. And this is all getting to feeding Cornelius spiritually, because he wants to grow Cornelius's faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, therefore, verse 29, therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now, true, when he was sent for, he came without objection, but in that vision, he was opposing, if you will, the Lord by saying, not so, Lord. But here we see that Peter is telling the truth. He did come without objection when he was sent for. Because when they came and said, we were sent from Cornelius to ask you to come back and say some words in verse 22, he did come. He lodged them for the night and came without objection. That's what he's saying here in verse 29. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was asked for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? That's when I said, he's drawing out of Cornelius for Cornelius to say this himself. Because in verse 22, the three messengers told him why he was sent for. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. So look at another thing about Cornelius. See, he was one who fasted, one who prayed, one who gave to the Jews a part of his salary or his living. He did good things and had a good heart. All of this was showing his hunger for righteousness, for a right relationship with God. So Cornelius says at verse 30, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, or look, a man stood before me in bright clothing, which lets you know was an angel, but in the form of a male, a man, in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call for Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is staying with or lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the seashore. When he comes, he will speak to you. Now look at Cornelius's introduction of Peter. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. You know what Cornelius just said? Cornelius just said, I know you are from God, and I know what you're about to say is from God. We want to hear it. That was his introduction to Cornelius, to his whole house that was filled with close friends and relatives. I love that introduction. He's saying, here's a man who's coming from God. And what he's about to say, God gave him those words. Please, let us hear your words. Let us hear what you have to say. So that's acknowledging who Peter is. It's acknowledging what he's about to hear is from God. Look at Cornelius demonstrating where his real heart is. This man is hungry. And another thing about Cornelius, look at his disposition. He's so accepting of what it is God has for him. Even in a sense, more accepting than Peter. Not so, Lord. Cornelius never said that. But Peter, being who he is, and we've seen his character strewn throughout the scriptures, he's often what they call, they said he often suffered from foot and mouth disease. Peter often said things which at the onset seemed inappropriate, but it came from a good place, a good heart. But Peter is being introduced here by Cornelius as one who is coming from God and about to give us words from God. So he says, let us hear what you have to say. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth or of a truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. What does that mean? Well, it's very clear. God doesn't prefer black, white, Jew, Gentile, male, female, but anybody that has the right heart wherever you are, God will accept you. Anyone can have a right relationship with God if you truly hunger and thirst for that right relationship, for righteousness. Peter just said that God is not prejudiced. He does not favor. Someone will say, but didn't he in the Old Testament choose the Jewish people to be? Yes, he chose them to be a light to the world to show how a nation will benefit, will be blessed with a right relationship with God if only Israel would do and what he says and be obedient. You will be that shining light, Israel. And when they were obedient to the Lord, they were that shining light. And the Lord also showed how he punishes those who disobey him. But Israel was that example to the world. What he is saying here now with the advent of the church, he is saying God's plan is now coming to fruition in that he has never, ever actually just preferred one race or people over another. He chose the Jewish people to be an example. He is now bringing to fullness his plan that there is neither Jew nor Gentile, black nor white, Gentile nor Jew. He's saying everyone is acceptable to God if your heart is right. That's what he's saying here. And this is what Peter said there in verse 35. The word which God sent to his to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? Well, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, that means Jesus is dying on the cross, becoming the substitution for all of mankind, brought that thing which was elusive until now, peace between God and mankind. Look at Romans 5:1. That peace that was so longed for, that enmity removed, Jesus, he's saying, he brought that, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. That's what that phrase means. That is Jesus that brought that by dying on the cross and being raised from the dead. And then I like his footnote he throws in, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power and went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. This is summing up. Let me just sum up what Peter is saying here. I see God does not favor one people over another. You know the good, you know the word, the good news, peace through Jesus Christ, meaning he brought peace between God and man by doing what he did on the cross and living the perfect sinless life. He is Lord of everything and everybody. He is Lord of all. He goes on, they put him to death. And we were witnesses, he says, of all these things, which they did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. He says they killed him, whom God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Peter's saying we ate and drank with this man who we know died. They killed him, but God raised him, showing his sacrifice was acceptable, and we ate and drank with him. This is one reason that the apostles got very bold after the resurrection. Remember, they all went hiding, running and hiding when they took Jesus and hung him on the cross. And then they got bold after they saw that Jesus conquered death, and they were able to preach boldly and openly because they had courage now. And verse 42, and he commanded us to preach. Jesus didn't ask them. He commanded them to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. What does that mean? To be judge of the living and the dead. Meaning those who are standing, living, when Jesus returns, Revelation 19, he will judge them. And those who have died before then, he will judge them, judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets witness. Every prophet that was a prophet in some way spoke of Jesus. In some way mentioned that this long-awaited Messiah, this long-awaited blessing from heaven, and in thy seed shall all the nations be blessed. They were talking about Jesus. He's just saying that's Jesus. Through his name, whoever believes in him would receive remission of sins. Saints, I want you to just think about this for a minute. You saw right there, you didn't see one word of being baptized in water for being saved. It said, who believes in Jesus would receive remission of sins. If your sins are remitted, you're saved. Now, notice, Peter was still talking. And I've been over this before, but the Holy Ghost interrupted him. You know why? God said, that's it. They got it. That's enough. Peter's sermon wasn't over yet. But the Holy Ghost interrupted Peter. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon all those who heard his word. Now, I like that because this shows, first of all, that not one of them was baptized yet they all got saved. Everyone in that house listening, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And look at old Cornelius, responsible for bringing, of course, the Lord was working behind the scenes, as it were, but Cornelius got all those that he loved and wanted to benefit from this good thing he was experiencing. He says, I'm going to bring everybody I know into this thing. And while Peter was yet speaking, the Lord, we have to consider this, the Lord at some point said, they get it. They all believe it. It fell on all who heard his word. So not only was hungry Cornelius fed, others there obviously were hungry. Peter, who obviously ate that day when he was naturally hungry, but he was fed spiritually and then was allowed to go and feed others the word of God and fill them up. He that hungers shall be fed. And the Lord interrupted Peter's preaching and that sermon in this house of Gentiles and saved them all. Now, you heard me say earlier that Peter went down to Caesarea, and some went with him, those that were with Peter. Now, I want you to understand something as we conclude this. You're going to see here, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. Yet, you've heard me say, and you know this, because you've seen in 1 Corinthians 14, 22, and 23, who tongues are for. Tongues are for the unbeliever. Yet, you're going to see here, these Gentiles, and another thing, tongues are for Jews always look like a sign, tongues, and Gentiles like reasoning, the Bible says. So why then are those of the circumcision just mean Jews? Why are the Jews here that came with Peter, and you find out later in the next chapter, I believe it is Acts 11, 12, that these were six men that went down with Peter. Why were these six believing Jews later unbelievers? Because they did not believe that the Holy Ghost could be received by Gentiles. So why does it call them in 45 believers? Because they were Jewish converts into Christianity. They believed in Jesus Christ, but they were still stuck in their ethnic prejudices and didn't think that Gentiles could receive the Holy Ghost just as they did. Because on the day of Pentecost, they saw fellow Jews from all over the Roman Empire receiving and speaking. And they saw the apostles and others speaking, and they saw people receiving the Holy Ghost. About 3,000 Peter turned to the church in those days, right? So they are called here in verse 45, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. Why were they astonished? As many as came with Peter, we learn in the next chapter, Acts 11, 12, that they were six men. As many as came with Peter, why were they astonished? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, had poured out on the Gentiles also. So that what that's saying subtly, or not so subtly, is they didn't think that Gentiles would get the Holy Ghost. Now, since Jews need a sign, or love a sign, as the Bible says, and unbelievers, tongues are for unbelievers, please take this in your understanding mind, the unbelievers, although they were just called believers in 45, they were believers in Jesus Christ, but they did not believe Gentiles could receive the Holy Ghost just like Jews did. So in that context, in that sense, they're unbelievers. Thus, those Gentiles began to speak in tongues, showing the Jews who were with Peter, see, they got the Holy Ghost just like you did. In fact, Peter's going to use that very verbiage in a minute. So the unbelievers, yet believers, in verse 45, are the Jews who came with Peter. They're believers in Jesus Christ, so they're Christians, therefore they're believers of the circumcision, and yet the tongues were for their benefit. It wasn't so much for the benefit of the Gentiles who were speaking, perhaps other than to show them that something miraculous had happened to them, because nowhere does it say that the Gentiles, the Cornelius and the other Gentiles with him, felt an electric bolt and they started shaking and got the Holy Ghost. No, it says the Holy Ghost just fell on them. But as a sign to these unbelievers who could not believe, that Gentiles got the Holy Ghost just as they did. God put the sign of tongues in their presence because they were not believers that Gentiles could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I hope you're getting that subtle point, saints. Verse 46, as we come to our conclusion soon. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, that's another point that you often heard me make. When people speak in tongues, it is always magnifying God, talking about the great works God has done in some way. It was never a message to people, go do this and do that. It was always magnifying God. Not some prophecy to you. It's always magnifying God. And the tongues spoken by those Gentiles on that day were for the benefit of the six Jews who came with Peter, who did not believe Gentiles could receive the Holy Ghost just like Jews did. Then Peter answered and said, can anyone forbid water? Peter says, since they have the Holy Ghost, saints, I want you to see this. Even look at the sequence of events here. Peter is saying, since they have the Holy Ghost, why should anyone stop them from being baptized? Weren't we given a command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus? And watch, I want you to watch this verbiage here too, which I've gone over before. Peter at verse 47 says, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost just as we have? Peter said they got it the same way we did. Why shouldn't they be able to be baptized? And he commanded them to baptize them. Here's another stickler that the uninformed, I don't want to use the word uneducated, people think I'm insulting. The uninformed think, you must only say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know who the Lord is. Peter said, baptize them in the name of the Lord. Peter knows there's no other Lord in my life but Jesus. So if you baptize them, it has to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's not forget the words of our very Lord himself. He said, go around the world and baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So clearly, that kind of stickler for those little points confuse and divide people for no good reason other than a lack of understanding. So Peter says, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and then they asked them to stay a few days. What are we getting out of this today, saints? Anyone, I don't care who you are, where you are in the world, or who a person is in the world, if anyone is desirous to know the Lord and you're hungry for that right relationship, righteousness, if you're hungry for that right relationship with God, God is always, still is today, and is always available to see that you have access to that feeding. And he that hungers shall be fed. God bless each and every one of you. Pray for one another, forgive one another, love one another, be patient with one another. God bless each and every one of you. Peace be unto you. I love you, saints. God bless you.
The preceding program originated from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on Apostolic Square at 22nd and Bainbridge Streets. Bishop Omega, Apostle and General Overseer. Sunday worship begins at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Write to Bishop Omega at Post Office Box 3880, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146. You may access the replay of this broadcast by dialing into Audio Now at 641-793-4507. That's 641-793-4507. On behalf of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, Bishop Omega wishes you the peace, love, and joy of Christ always.